This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Wednesday again already. I can't believe it. It seems like it was just like 2 days ago. It was Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
No, it's been a whole week. So we're back. Hope you're having a great week so far. We're just about, you know, halfway through it.
Good.
So that's pretty good, right? Still standing. Hey, if you haven't done so already, go ahead and click on that link in the description. It'll bring you over here into this Zoom call, and you can hang out with the shower door professionals. Just be like one of the guys, one of the gals. You know, yeah, there's a gal right there. Shannon showing up. Good to see ya. Yeah. So come on in. The water's fine. Talk about shower doors and stuff like that. Yeah, so anyway, just thought I would check with you guys, just see what's going on. Are you guys running into any issues getting anything? Is your glass supply good? Is your hardware supply good? Is there any finishes that you're having trouble getting or parts? What's going on? Give me the news. And don't all talk at once.
End of the world. I don't order a whole bunch, so what I need, I can get at the moment. So
you've been stocking up?
I have. I've got a pretty good stock, and I was going to start pulling from that, but I decided just to keep that and just, you know, as I order shower, just order more and then just keep my stock in case another COVID happens. So
exactly.
Yeah, so that's about it. But everything's been good. All the brushed bronzes and the, you know, the satin brasses and all the weird stuff that, well, not weird, but all the stuff that was hard to get is very, very accessible now. No issues here in Texas.
Steve, what do you stock? You stock a lot of hardware, like hinges and clamps and stuff?
Not a lot, but I have a fair amount of each, you know, each color mostly. You know, not a whole bunch of the specialty colors, but the chromes, the blacks, brushed nickel. You know, I've got enough to pull me through a few shower doors if I was in a pinch. I don't have like a giant storage full of them, but I've got a rack full of stuff that I could probably make work if I had to. At least get some, nice. At least get a month or two worth of doors and stuff up. And if I had to go change that hardware, you know, which we kind of learned during the 2020 stuff, we can put it up and go change the hardware later as long as we can get some stuff going, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys been getting calls for like antique brass lately?
No.
Antique brass.
Yeah, I've been getting a few more calls for that finish, and it's one of those finishes that's like C.R. Lawrence has discontinued it. So
yeah,
whatever's there is there, and it's like, you know, if they're not ready to pull the trigger right away, it's like, listen, it may not be, you know. I can give you this price and this availability now. You know, I can't even tell you if it's going to last till tomorrow.
Yep.
We had one about 2 months ago. Yeah. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one contractor that says, yeah, we bought all our finished hardware. It was antique brass. And I go, well, good luck.
Even on a good day, you might get like one piece of hardware in the finish and then like not get another one. And it's like,
no,
right.
Pick through and see, okay, this handle's available in that finish. And this clamp's available in the finish.
Shannon?
I didn't realize it was discontinued.
Yeah.
FHC or anybody else filling in?
Not yet.
They have it.
Hmm.
Well, the thing about FHC is they've got certain finishes. You know, they've got a just a like probably five or six finishes, and they pretty much stock everything and all the finishes. I mean, not that they've always got them in stock, but it's not like going to CRL where, like, half the products are in this finish or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I mean, CRL still has some. It's just not probably what you need.
They got the stuff that nobody
Perfect.
buys.
FHC has all the stuff that everybody buys,
Exactly.
right? And I mean, it's smart. It's smart business on their part. And look what CRL is doing. They're phasing out all the stuff that nobody wants or that they have very little use for, because they've got a warehouse full of it that's just sitting there doing nothing, right? So when they sell out, they're done.
I noticed that about the heavy glass patterns too. I remember, years ago, I'd have a box full of cardinal patterns,
Yeah.
just whatever. And I get builders asking me, well, what are we, what are our options? And like, we really don't have many. You've got rain, satin, pattern 62, and clear and ultra clear. It's pretty
Blue
much,
chip, probably. That's
yeah. But I mean, all the random, the giant box of samples,
they don't exist.
stock set.
And when you finally get a customer who wants one of them, you want to get a quote on it, and it's not there anymore.
And then you give them a quote and they choke on
That's
it.
the
truth. Sorry, I came in a little late. What is it that's discontinued?
Antique brass.
Okay.
They're phasing. I mean, you can still get some, but not everything.
And also, I've noticed polished nickel today. There, I haven't looked into everything, but some of the stuff I was looking for in polished nickel is out. Discontinued.
I
Haven't
wow
had that problem.
polished nickel.
Some of it, I mean, like a Victorian, maybe even the Colonial, I can't remember now.
And CRL.
So I need to look. I mean, I have an order that I'm going to be working on, and it's all polished nickel. And so I was a little surprised when I was with the customer. We were looking at some handle options, and I went, wow, some of this stuff is not in existence. So.
Well, that just might be the Victorian
Yep.
and
Well,
Cologne.
yeah, they're
Yeah,
not.
yeah, yeah. I'm sure that they still have some of the basic stuff.
Yeah, they have all that.
Yeah.
And also, it seems like every single shower is getting larger and larger.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Big glass is in style.
Well, it's one I measured today has big front of glass, and I'm going to do it in two panels. And what I wanted was a solid towel bar so I can actually, bridge the towel bar to go from one panel to the other to kind of add some rigidity. And we're going to do a double towel bar inside and out, along with the clamps.
That's not a bad idea.
Nice. That's a good idea.
How
That's
wide
using me.
make a towel bar?
Yeah, I was always told you don't put towel bars on the inside of glass showers because people think they're a grab bar and they're not.
We won't do it. We'll put it on the outside only.
We'll
A
do it
lot
with a
of
warning.
people don't, a lot of manufacturers just won't do it anymore.
No.
We'll do a back to back. People like the back to back. They want to hang their washcloths and stuff in there. That's when we'll do a back to back. I've had a couple people lately request that the towel bar be put on the inside just for that purpose, with the handle on the
You're
outside.
talking about on the door, not on the fixed panel, right?
Either or, actually.
So I think they're talking about a fixed panel where it can be
Okay.
used as a
Well,
grab bar.
yeah.
yeah. We just changed the handle for a guy last week who has been using his handle as a self-assist. And
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, It's really, it's not just not for that, you know. It's not recommended, but we'll give you a new one.
How wide of a towel bar are you doing?
Me?
Yeah, how wide is it going
to
go?
Oh, as wide as I can get. Well, you know, I figured the only thing I was going to find really was the 24-inch.
Oh. More
likely in polished nickel. You know, yeah. I can't imagine they're going to make all the sizes.
I was just going to recommend if you were going super wide, not real wide, but you could do like a ladder pull handle sideways just because they're a lot thicker. And you know, those towel bars are kind of
flimsy.
Wide, it may get real, real flimsy, and you might be looking like a back to back ladder pull just with one side.
Sure.
And they make those pretty long, I think, 4 foot.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, you can get a
could
big
do,
board.
Could yeah. do, yeah, the big commercial ladder pulls.
Mm-hmm. It'd probably make them longer than 4 foot.
72 inches, I think, right?
Probably.
And I think they make them 6 foot.
Watch that metal. You're worried about it being real, real wobble, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
A 30 inch would be nice. Something like that. But I was also thinking one from 310 Tampering, get one of the glass ones. That'd be nice too.
Ooh, that would be nice. That you could make that, they'd make that probably any size you want.
Probably. I'd have to request it, sure. Uh-huh. So, and I think my customer's open to that idea. Yeah.
So, you know, I was just looking at FHC's website, and polished nickel is one of their finishes. Got like 2, 4, 6, 8 finishes. So there's no, you know, antique brass or anything like that, but just the 8 most common finishes, including brushed bronze and satin brass, but, you know, chrome brass, polished nickel, low rub bronze, matte black, you know, chrome. They do have polished nickel. So if there's something you're looking for in that finish, you'll probably find it there. I think it's smart to just limit the number of finishes like that and then just offer all of your products and all of those finishes, right? I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and their polished nickel is pretty nice. It's not so yellowy like mm-hmm. some of them can be.
Right, I know what you mean. Yeah, I like their finishes. I like their products. I really do. I think they're really top-notch, my experience. A lot of times I'll order CRL stuff just because I'm ordering my glass from Oldcastle and it's just convenient. You know, they'll ship it to me. They give me like a great price on hardware, you know, and then deliver it for free. So it's not hard to not buy it, you know, but I'm a creature of convenience.
It kind of to piggyback off that, we primarily use Portals hardware, and I had developed a relationship with my salesman, you know, a pretty good working relationship with him, and you know, he would help me out from time to time when need be, and I recently called there to speak to him because I wanted to talk to him about a few things. I had a couple favors to ask, and I found out that he no longer works there. That I had a new sales rep. So I had gotten her contact information, you know, name, address, not address, name, email, direct line. And I reached out to her just to kind of, you know, introduce myself, say, hey, and just kind of begin to develop that relationship all over again. I have not heard back from her. I never got a call back or any kind of emailed response, which was rather discouraging. But like how do you guys handle that? Like when you've developed a relationship with a sales rep at one of these companies for a while and you've kind of built this rapport with one another, what do you guys do to kind of kickstart the new relationship with the new sales rep? Like, do you guys have any tips or pointers?
That's a great question. I want
how to schmooze them.
Yeah, blowing them up. That's all you can do.
What's that, Steve?
Blowing them up, man. It's just, yeah. I've had that relationship with one of my fabricators where this dude, he knew exactly how I wanted my stuff. Ladder pools were my standard handle. So like everything came the way I wanted it. Well, then he moved up to like a regional manager position. Well, then they kind of started bouncing my drawings around to different salespeople. Well, I'd get things coming not like they were. And so you've got to start just building that again. And it sucks, tell you the truth. It's just, you don't have what you used to have, and you were so used to it because it was easy. And then you got to start all over, and just, that's all it is just going through the process of starting that all over again. I don't think there's any easy way to do it.
Brian, I think they're supposed to schmooze you, not the other way around.
Well, I was kind of surprised that she didn't call and introduce herself as like, hey, you know, I'm your new sales rep. You know, just want to call and introduce myself. Say, hey, if you need anything, you know, here's my direct line. Here's my email. Reach out. You know, looking forward to working with you. Nothing, you know, nothing crazy. I don't need flowers, dude. Just, hey, what's up? This is who I am. I was kind of surprised.
That is. Maybe she's just trying to catch up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe just a little overwhelmed with a whole bunch of brand new accounts.
Could be, yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
When I'm doing business with somebody, whether it's a potential new client or a vendor like this, where my gut's like, oh, this is a good relationship. I like working with this person. We're kind of jiving. Maybe I feel like I'm going to get the deal, or I feel like this person I can count on. And what I've come to realize, because I've gone through this scratching my head for years, and then someone brought it to my attention. You know, your biggest problem is your biggest problem. Like, I expect the service because that's how it's always been. But then when you've gone dark, what you have to assume is what's happening on the other side, what's going on in their life. And you want to ask in a manner that doesn't sound demanding, but kind of makes them think like, fuck, I got to stop blowing off Brian. I need to call him back. And the word track that someone gave me, it's a one sentence, has to have a question mark at the end of it in an email or text, is, have you completely given up on me? Or have you completely given up on this relationship? Question mark. And the kind of like psychology behind it is, nobody likes admitting to quitting. So when I say, have you completely given up? If they say yes, then you know that relationship's dead. Like, don't even think about it. Find another source. But my guess is the relationship's not dead, but you're just not on the hit parade, maybe in the order of shit that she's got going on or he's got going on the other side, right? You're like on the lower level. But they know they need to get back to you. And so it's kind of this cattle prod approach. Like, hey, have you completely given up on me? Question mark. And the other thing it says is like, well, fuck, if I say, yes, I have given up on him, what am I missing out on? Does he have something that I could benefit from? And every time I've used that, I've gotten a response within like minutes. And it's resurrected deals that Jay and I had dead for like a month. People that like just straight up took through the whole process. I would have bet the farm that this deal was closing, and then they just go dark. And I think it's natural in all of our brains to assume they must have got another price. You know, they're going to do something different. When in reality is there might just be a million other things going on. And so it's kind of a creative way to like cattle prod them to at least elicit a response. And then you can kind of move from there. But it has to have a question mark on the end of it. And it's not, have you completely given up on me? Because I haven't. It's, have you completely given up on this project, on this proposal, on this relationship? Question mark. And it really, it preserves their autonomy while making them aware, like, shit, I have an opportunity to make this good. I've been putting it off. I should do it right now. It's kind of a subtle way of like leaving the door open. That's what I would try.
All right. I like that.
All right, cool. Have you completely Brian, given up you... on?
Brian, could you figure out also where the rep that you had a good relationship, where they went, and maybe why? It might be worth finding out a little bit more. And it could also open a door to a new supplier. I mean, we all watched Danny Donahue move from CRL to FHC, and that was very exciting. And it's how FHC has a bunch of business, right? I mean, Danny's the man. So you might just follow up with your old sales rep too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that having a good relationship, like what you're describing, for me is like huge. Now I was talking about Oldcastle. I mean, probably the main reason that I'm so loyal to them is because of my rep. Brandon Moore is my sales rep. That guy, like, we talk just about every day. And if I've got anything, any issue at all, I can call him. You know, I can call him just to vent, you know, just to rant. I really don't. I try to be super, like, really nice and polite, even when he's blowing it. I try to be, like, super forgiving because I want to keep that relationship good. And I want him to always feel like he can pick up the phone, that I'm never going to yell at him, never going to go off on him, no matter how bad things get. It's always, like, a little bit of small talk. Hey, how's your day? What's going on? Yeah, whatever, you know. Giant, you know, whatever we're talking about, Giants, or and then, you know, a little bit of business. For me, it's super important, and I think it's not true for everybody. There are probably a lot of people who don't really care about the relationship at all. They just want their stuff, and it's like, hey, give me this. I want this. Where's my thing? Where's my that? You know, and that's kind of like the relationship. You can call it that. And I wonder if letting the new person know how important relationship is to you, and just having that talk, like, hey, welcome aboard. Glad you're there. Nice to meet you. I want to tell you, you know, the person that was there before you did a great job. We had a good relationship. These are some of the things they did that made me feel like I was important, you know, even though I know I'm not the biggest customer. And that's always me too. It's like, I'm not nearly the biggest customer these guys have, not even close. You know, I'm kind of a little fish. So it's like when they're showing up for me and taking care of me, that's a big deal, you know? And so maybe that person doesn't know that yet, that with you, that's huge. You know, it's more important than other things. Because they're going to have to sort that out. They got a whole bunch of clients and they're going to have to sort out, oh, this guy, he's like that. Oh, that guy, he's like that. This person wants it done yesterday. This person is like, wants the lowest price. You know? But Brian just wants, you know, wants me to answer him quickly and let him know that, you know, I'm thinking about him. I care about him. He's in my dreams.
Yeah. I think Chris is right, and of course everybody's right. I think all these are good techniques and everything, but show a little bit of an interest in them too. I find out where they came from, a little bit about their background, and you know, if they a lot of people, you don't make it one sided, and they really appreciate that you have an interest in them, and then you've developed that relationship.
Who is your new rep, Brian?
Christine. I forget her last name.
Okay.
Well, I know people love portals. I mean, you know, I've used their products before. They've got great products. Just never, you know, never became like my main supplier. But the people who do use them as their main hardware supplier, love it and rave. I see I've got Juan over in the chat on Facebook going on and on. Like he uses portals. He loves portals. He's just going, he's like, they ship for free. Oh, they're the best in the business. Jennifer's my rep. She's amazing. And he says his advice is take them beer. You know, people like beer. Yeah, could work.
Is it Christine or Christy?
It might be Christy.
Yeah, Christy's been my rep when I do stuff, and she's been very responsive. It's probably just like we don't know what's going on, right? Maybe she's just missing the emails, or just maybe she just received a shit ton of stuff from whenever the other guy left, and so she's just filtering through it. So, I mean, they've always been a really good company whenever I've asked for stuff. So it's probably just got the new person syndrome, you know, getting in there trying to figure
right. out. Yeah. I'll reach out to her tomorrow again.
Yeah, I've had it happen, though. I've had it happen with companies where it's just like, you know, reaching out. And even the guy who I'm talking about who's so great, there's weeks where it's like, hey, man, I'm contacting the guy every day. I email him, then I'm texting him, then I'm like calling. You know, it's like, hey, what's going on? So I've kind of fallen off the radar a little bit, but yeah, that can happen to anybody too. So when a relationship is new, it's harder to judge whether this is their normal behavior or this is their, you know, having a tough week behavior. It takes a little while to get to know that. But that's a perfect example of like what I was asking, you know, just how smoothly are things going right now? You know, I mean, I think probably anything looks smooth compared to how it was a few years ago. It was just terrible. But, you know. What else? Who's next?
Any of you guys look at the list in Glass Magazine that had the top fabricators having Oldcastle was number one, over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And then the second one was Technoglass. I had never heard of Technoglass. I've never seen them at any of the glass shows, and they're the second largest glass fabricator with 9,000 employees.
What's her name?
Technoglass.
Techno.
I'm looking them up. I've never seen anything on them. It almost looks like skyscraper.
They're out of Colombia, and they do pretty much all of the high risers and like super expensive glass.
Well, they're out of Miami, and they got 6 plants.
Damn.
Yeah, when I was still doing commercial, there at the very end before I went in business for myself. I did a job in San Jose for Enclose.
Yeah.
ENCLOSE. Maybe.
Yeah, Enclose. Yeah.
Was there an E on the end? I don't know. But they were like, and it turned out they were like the second biggest contractor in the world. And I'd never heard of them. I think what was it? Harman. I think Harman might have been the biggest at that time. This was.
Encloses,
but I'd never heard of them, and I'd been in the commercial glass industry for my whole adult life, and then all of a sudden I worked for this company I'd never heard of before, and they were like huge.
Yeah,
it's funny how that happens. But they wouldn't even bid on anything under $100 million. Or something. So it was like they were only doing the jobs so big. They were like no bid jobs, right? These government jobs. So it was like so big, and that was a pretty fancy job. That was that city hall. What do they call it? Yeah, it was city hall basically in San Jose. Had this big dome and glass dome. It was pretty awesome. It was a good company.
Big fabricated
too, it was fun.
Is there any particular topic we're kind of on, or just anything goes?
Yeah, you can talk about whatever you want. But we were talking about, it started out asking, you know, how things were going, if people were having any trouble getting any hardware or finishes. And then you kind of came in with the thing about the polished nickel thing. So you didn't even know the topic and you were like on topic. So that was pretty amazing. Congratulations, Brad.
I had no idea you were just sitting talking about stuff, and I thought, okay, I wonder what it is.
Oh. There you go, man. Anybody have a question or something they just want to bring up? Something we haven't talked about yet?
How do you see AI affecting the glass industry?
Heath, how is AI affecting the glass industry?
What?
Perfect. How is AI affecting the glass industry?
I have no idea all the different facets it can do, but I've started using it when I do a lot of my social media posts. I think I said this before, like my grammar, no disrespect to a fifth grader, but my grammar is borderline fourth or fifth grade level. And I have thoughts that I want to get on paper, but it's frustrating for me because like a paragraph would be a sentence. Like now I say it into ChatGPT. Like in 30 seconds, I can put a script together that you thought was written by a professional editor. And so for me, I've used it in that manner, but I know there's a lot of other uses that it can be used for. Well, actually, this is actually a really good question. You know the takeoff sheets? I don't know what everybody uses for takeoff sheets, but we have a standardized takeoff sheet when we go out to a customer's house that we fill out and that we draw the door on there.
Yeah.
Well, we've entered every one of those takeoff sheets for 15 years into a database. We're able to export all that information and upload it into AI, and the certain AI programs will find these clusters or patterns or commonalities like in certain zip codes or certain hardware finishes or just certain patterns. And it can really be helpful when trying to target market or, you know, figure out which type of product you want to put on the floor of your showroom based on, you know, data. And so I think there's a lot of benefits that the AI can help with our businesses to help, you know, push them further along, be more profitable and more lean.
We just started doing, I found an app and we're doing all of our SOPs, installation stuff, just all of a lot of our documentation. We're using kind of an AI generator, at least just to segment it out. And then we'll go in and adjust it where needed, but at least it formats it all out. Like the job descriptions came out better than I would have typed them out. And then we just go in and do the fine tuning to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that saved me hours. I've been putting off that for years, doing job descriptions, SOPs, all that. And I flew through it in a week, you know, with the majority of it.
Cool.
Yeah, what you were describing there, Keith, about having like just all of your past stuff entered into it. And so you've got a database of everything you've done. So when you did it, what the pricing was, what materials were used, the sizes, the colors of glass, whatever. You've got a whole database of that, and then you just turn that over and let it just grind it out. You can find out what's trending, what has trended in the past, if there's a repeat happening in a cycle of like, oh,
well, yeah, that's it.
Right.
The one thing, so we got a lot of different data points out of this that were very beneficial for us, but the one that stood out the most. So our showroom is 34110. Just south of us, 34108. It's this big, like, gated community. And we kind of do a splash marketing, like, in all the counties, all the zip codes. But after running this program and the AI showing this cluster, in zip code 34108, there was a massive, massive collection of 5 foot, they're actually 58-inch dorm panels that were from tub to shower conversions, because this one community is predominantly seniors. But they're big. They're not, it's not senior living. They're just bigger houses. And this craze of having a tub in every bathroom is like gone. And it's dangerous for them to step over and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And it was obvious to us after seeing this that it was in specific into that zip code. So then we did Facebook marketing, you know, all the different marketing that we could do, even print marketing in that zip code with 5 foot dorm panel showing a before with a tub and then the after. And you want to talk about an ROI on an investment? Like, that was the best ROI we ever got on a marketing campaign. And that all came out of, you know, an AI generated kind of portal for the data. So having a takeoff sheet that has information that over, if you're playing the long game, 2, 3, 4 years out, you can start running these programs. And what it helps you do is almost start predicting the future because you're seeing these patterns happen. Right. And you can really start to get out in front of that. And, you know, I think that's cool.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That is exactly what large language models do, is they, yeah, they their job is to predict the next work.
Yeah.
Daniel, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, what are you putting that into? What database are you putting that into, Keith? Like your takeoffs, what kind of database are you putting that into that's giving you that information?
Okay, well, so we use a system called SAP, but I'm sure QuickBooks or whatever storage solution, CRM you have for all that, is exportable in a Excel form. And then there is a host of AI programs that will allow you to import that Excel spreadsheet of all your takeoff jobs, and it will start finding clusters or patterns. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but before I get off the call, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay.
I use ChatGPT for all my basic scripts and stuff like what CJ said regarding like hiring and kind of just routine stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a specific AI program for importing data to look for those clusters. I can't remember. Damn it. I can't remember the name of it. You know how I got this? This was really funny. I did not. This fell into my lap. My father talked me into filling in for him for something at a local college, FGCU, and speaking there one day. I'm like, this is like so ironic because I could barely finish high school and here I'm speaking in front of college students. And one of them comes up to me after class and says, hey, I want to come work with you this summer. Like, you don't have to pay me. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. So we did like 2 days a week. I ended up paying him and he brought this to my attention. You know, he's like, wow, you got a lot of orders here. And he's like, any way I can like get all these? I'm like, I don't know. You know, and I asked, I think our CFO, and he says, yeah, I can export all this stuff. You know, what are you doing with it? And I said, well, this kid's going to put it in some AI program, and I don't know what's going to happen. Well, man, he showed us all this information, and we were, like, pulling our hair out, going, holy shit. Like, this was unbelievable. So that intern brought that to our, you know,
wow,
brought it to the table, and it really opened our eyes. Because I was kind of poo-pooing. I'm like, what are we going to do with AI, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot you can do with it, a lot. And it really just helps fine tune some of those things, like the marketing dollars. Like we just would do these blanket campaigns. When you use the AI, it's more like surgical strikes, which that's cool. I mean, it was really cool. And we still do it often, actually. I got to get the name of that. I'll pass the mic now, but I'll find the name before we get off.
If you guys don't mind, I would like to just take a second because this is my first time on the Zoom call thing. I've never really done a Zoom call before, but I saw this group. So I just wanted to introduce myself real quick so I wasn't some weirdo hanging out on the call. but anyways, you know, I'm in Georgia. I think I'm right around the corner from Brad, if I'm being honest. I think Brad Lehman, I'm right around the corner from him. This is, you know, it's Noble Custom Glass. It's my father's business essentially, but the plans are for me to take it over. So that's you know, what I am. So we're doing mostly residential shower doors. We do light commercial stuff, but we're in the North Georgia area near Brad. So, and just trying to expand my knowledge and my relationships. So that's why I'm kind of jumping in on this stuff and seeing what the deal is. So
awesome. Well, welcome, nice. Daniel. We're glad you're here.
Welcome.
Yep.
That's cool.
How many showers are you doing a week?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, we're doing, I mean, I'm not really too shy about saying what we do. You know, we probably do about 150,000 a month in just sales, between 150 to 200. So, but we do, we're kind of like a specialty company. So we also work for, we also do a lot of shelving, shutters, screens, door hardware, stuff like that. I mean, if we were to pick and choose what we wanted, we would like to do high-end custom shower doors. That's, you know, we like the margins on them. We don't, we stay away from any production stuff. We don't like national builders. It's just, we, you know, we'd rather have higher margins, lower volume versus higher volume and lower margins. It's just not worth the headache. And I kind of, you know, that's what my dad taught me. So that's what we do. You know, we do a lot, a little bit of everything, but you know, we got about four trucks running around, so they're probably doing 2 to 3 shower doors a day. And then some days they're not doing any. So it just depends on what we got, you know. So
nice. No, that's great.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys stay pretty busy.
I think Brad might know my dad maybe a little better than I know him, maybe.
Yeah, we used to work together back in the day when we worked at Plymart and had all that stuff, the closet shelves, the doorknobs, and everything. We just did it all. So your dad was a star, man. He was so good at mirror work and that sort of thing. He was very accurate and efficient. I do remember that. So
yeah, he definitely knows a lot. So I'm trying, you know, I've soaked in a lot of what he knows, and now I'm just trying to, you know, I can't just have one source of knowledge. So this is why I'm branching off to all this stuff and just seeing what everybody else is doing. Cause you know, I mean, you know, he had his goals and I have mine. So, and I'm going to need a lot more information. So, so I'm hoping all you guys will give it to me.
Oh yeah. Careful what you wish for.
Well, I'm not, it's okay. Bring it on.
You'll get a lot of opinions around here.
We all have them. We're expert at our own opinions, aren't we?
Yeah. It's cool to see someone kind of following, like, you know, in their father's footsteps. You know, like my dad was a glazer, you know, and so my older brother and I both, you know, followed him into the craft. And so it's like, it's kind of rare anymore that people, you know, pick up the family trade. So it's cool. I love to see that.
I tried staying away from it, but I got sucked into it. So I was doing business administration in college and I didn't finish that. But I mean, what's more business administrative than running your own business for, you know, so.
Exactly.
Daniel, I grew up being a Plymart kid too. I'm Brad's daughter, Christina. So we're in the same boat and I still hear stories about Steve Capin this and Steve Capin that. So your dad is a good guy in this industry, and it's nice to see you on this call. You're in good company.
Well, I appreciate the welcome. So yeah, it's fun seeing his name go around. I have a fun story. I was removing some mirrors from Jeff Foxworthy's house, and he had originally installed them, and behind the mirror when I pulled it down was his handwriting. And it's still exactly the same kind of handwriting as he writes now, but he was writing all his measurements on the wall. And it was just funny to see his handwriting behind the mirror years later from, you know, he installed when he was at Plymart, I think. So it's a fun little tidbit.
That's right. Yep.
That is fun. That's awesome.
Three Bears Builders. That was my account.
Small world, small world.
Yep.
It is.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for stepping up and introducing yourself. Now, I thought
we appreciate it. So,
I thought you looked new, but you know, I didn't want a single
yet. Yeah, you know, and I didn't want to sit back and be the creepy new guy just sitting there looking at everybody. So,
that's cool.
Right. Where are you located?
We're in Buford, Georgia, so about 45 minutes north of Atlanta. We service most of the Atlanta area. We service too broad of an area, to be honest, but mostly Atlanta and North Atlanta. So, the goal, honestly, for me, is to get a few more locations. So I'd like to get up and down to the Panhandle and up to the mountains in the Carolinas. So that's where I'd like to take it. So.
Can be done. It can be done.
Oh yeah, I just need to know more people that have done it. There is somebody that was on here.
Keith's the one that there did is, it.
I've looked into Keith, and I've looked into I think the guy that was on last week. I'm not sure if that's Keith's father or something like that, or somebody with the My Shower Doors and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm doing some digging and research, and was looking into one of the guys named Brandon that was on the call and watching what he was doing, and yeah, just watching. So. Watching everybody, learning as much as they can.
Watching you.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Right.
It's like taking a tiger by the tail, huh?
Oh my God. It's lonely. Yes.
Daniel, I'll try to add you on Facebook after this call, but very, very kind of similar goals. I think we're a little bit ahead of you on, like probably units that we're running a week. Because we're just our doors. That's all we're doing. Similar goals, so I'll have to add you, and I'm sure we can have a chat a little bit more too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like any input I can get would be great. Yeah. So the struggles that we're not right now is like just information systems and stuff like that. Systems and processes is what the biggest thing I need to get going.
Yeah, that's just about all I'm working on now. I got someone that's handling more of the day-to-day stuff now. And so that's just about all I'm working on, system processes, software. That's all my day-to-day is, so been just beating my head with that. So I got a couple things we're working on.
Yeah, Keith interested me with the AI stuff there. So I'm going to try to implement that to any of the advertising, just the social media stuff. We don't do any advertising. So, I mean, it's just me pumping stuff out. But I was using it to, like he said, reword the grammar, and I did it. And it's amazing what it'll make you sound like. Like it'll make you sound like a genius when you type something in and you can just change it. So it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Hey CJ, where are you located at?
We're Phoenix, Arizona. So we're real close to GCS's Phoenix location.
Okay. You've been on the call before.
Yeah. Like maybe once or twice. Right. It's been a while though. You know how it goes. We get real busy and we're working until 6 o'clock at night and we miss the calls. Or, you know, just get busy with personal stuff. So trying to get back to it a little bit, especially now, like I was saying, like our day-to-day stuff's a lot more taken care of now. So I'm not answering phones until 7 o'clock at night. So it makes it a little easier to do things like this.
Right on.
Yeah, we got a good group of guys going over there. We're like 11 of us right now. But a lot of them are guys that, you know, I was friends with growing up, or the owner was friends with growing up. So, I mean, some of the guys I've known I'm only 23, but some of the guys I've known, 10 or so years already. But a real good group of guys.
Awesome.
So makes it fun. But we're working on getting, right now we run 3 trucks full time. We're working on getting the fourth going. But then it's like the difficulty of like, well, once you get the fourth truck, then one measurement tech can't measure enough. So then you have to do 2 measurement techs. But if you have 2 measurement techs, then 4 crews don't run enough. So then you need 6 crews. And then it's like, it's a very big step, and we've been pushing to try to get over that. It's kind of a hump, I always call it, pushing to get over the hump for a while now, and it's hard.
That's a good topic because we're in a similar situation. We cross-train our techs, but then you get to a point where, like, how do you cross-train on every single thing that you sell, and how do you teach somebody to measure in such an incredible way and consider everything, but then also be a star installer. I mean, it's just too much almost.
Like we only run one measurement tech, but that's all he does. He's really dialed in at it. So he's probably like 97% accuracy, which has helped us out a ton. And he used to install for us before. Like he's a sharp guy. We've had other people measure and, like our accuracy definitely was not that high. But yeah, cross training. And I don't know if GCS does it like that, or I think My Shower Door does them where they're separate techs, or it's measurement and then install. It seems to be a little easier to do measurement than install, but I don't know. Easier to train at least.
Maybe a smaller, a lower barrier to entry, but very difficult to be excellent at.
Yeah, definitely. And so, like, I right now, like, I'll just kind of fill in the gaps. I mean, our measurement tech will hit 8 appointments in a day, and we cover a broad area in Phoenix. It's not, I mean, it's the whole metro, you know, 4 million population we're covering. So, you know, I'll pick up the access if he can't, you know, get to it, whatnot. But it would be nice to, you know, just have the two measurement guys going, you know, at all times and be able to split up the town, because right now it's one guy going all the way around town, putting 60,000 miles on a year. And so it also would just be nice efficiency wise to be able to run two measurement, you know, crews or techs.
Does anybody use a digital form of measurement stuff like that you can use on a tablet or something like that when you're out in the field that will send it back to the office? That, because I mean, we need a sales rep, but I really want to make it a simple, stupid process for them, because to be honest, it's, I mean, it's fairly easy to measure this stuff, and you just need to have some points that they have to hit every time, because it's pretty standard to an extent, you know. But there's, you know, I'm looking for a system to use that we can just send somebody out and it's got it all set up to where it'll, you know, you put in your numbers and it'll flag it for them, so they can't move on to the next thing until they hit these numbers correctly, so that the efficiency is correct and stuff like that, and then they can send it back to the office, versus doing hand measurements and having to learn how they measure. And they're just doing it the way you want them to do it every time, is what I'm trying to find, something like that that I can use for myself, so then I can teach somebody how to use it. So I'm looking for a software. I know CRL has something, you know, I know CRL has something that we might be able to use. We use Oldcastle's CAD stuff. We use Oldcastle and Coral, but we have a guy that puts all the CADs, our field measurements into that. But I'm looking to figure out how to get it into the field for a sales rep. But, you know, I would try it first.
We've been using Smart Glazer, and we are Smart Builder. I don't know, they rebranded something. There's something like that, though. So it's like Showers Online, but you get a little bit more full circle, like CRL Showers Online. You get a little bit more full circle to it. So you also get, like, to keep track of your purchases, your invoices, automatic integrations with Stripe. So for all the payment processing, you know, like, you email out a quote and it already has the Stripe link for half deposit, and it applies it, which is nice. But we run it through an iPad, grab pictures of all of our measurements, and he'll even send the quote while he's there. And then before we order, we'll just double check pictures to make sure he did all of his entry in right.
Mm-hmm. Is that integratable to QuickBooks too?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't run any bookkeeping side of it. I don't.
Christina knows a lot about it.
It is. You can integrate Smart Toolbox is what the tool is called. Smart Glazer. Company Smart That's Builder what... is gone now.
Yeah.
Using, and then yes, it can integrate with QuickBooks in a couple of different ways. So you have to kind of select things that you're looking for.
It's a little expensive. I think it's, I don't know, $500-$600 a month. But it's been a nice program. Like, there's some limitations to it, but it has been nice.
Is it teachable?
I mean, it's the same, like, for measuring the shower, it's the same as CRL Showers Online. Like, you know, they have to know how to take an outage, you know, and just be able to enter it in. But as long as you know how to take an outage and double check your outage to your openings, you really should be fine. And then adjusting fittings is pretty simple. But it definitely takes trial and error. Like, we've been on it for 2 years and we're finally really getting, like, our fittings dialed in exactly how we like. Especially like a floor to ceiling prima, you know, I can't just have a normal cutout. I need it to be a double notch, so that way our glass doesn't hit the base plate. So, like, putting in a lot of these, like, little technical factors, or like on a floor to ceiling, you know, I have it where it has to use a special clamp on the ceiling, so that way it actually takes a deduction for my height wise, but it takes a lot of trial and error to get it how you want. So we've been on it for about, I think, 2 years now, a little over 2 years.
Watch out for all those things that you didn't know that you knew that no one else knows. New sales guys, man, you get out, they go to install, and it's like, this glass won't fit through the door. You set this up, for the door to hinge off the other side, and it's actually physically impossible now to enter the room and close the door and get, you know, and you didn't tell the homeowner that, you know, that it's just amazing how many things you don't know that someone doesn't know when they start into showers to begin with. We had a brand new guy, and he was really, really smart guy and really, you know, really tried hard, but it was brutal the number of jobs that he just didn't know. And it was just done for, start over. So just a cautionary tale. We love to pull people. You take the old guys that can't install anymore and make them into salespeople. That's our method.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of our old guys are, to be honest, grumpy, and they're not very people friendly. So it's hard to get them into sales.
Right.
Well, maybe they'd be nicer if they were in sales. Maybe they just like that. They just don't like their job.
Mm-hmm.
Never know. Get them out into some nice homes, like talking to some nice, affluent people, and that'd just be their inner wonderful person will come out. That's what happened to me. I was pretty grumpy. I used to be pretty grumpy back in the old days. Can you imagine that?
Just being grumpy?
Yeah. What else? We got 3 minutes. Want to sneak something in?
That went by fast.
I know it does.
This week I learned that, I mean, we say it pretty much every week, but you're a lot less grumpy when you don't take jobs that you don't want and you set boundaries with your discounts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, basic. We say it every week, but subtle reminder to don't discount past the point that you're unhappy or don't feel like it's worth it.
Love it. Where's wisdom?
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun being able to say no sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to set up a principle like this, like this is what we're going to do. We're not going to deviate from this. And then when things get a little slow, I see companies going, oh, well, you know, it's slow. So maybe we should do this. You know, maybe we should, you know, a sale. Maybe we should discount. Maybe we should, you know, and it's like, I've been around long enough to where I've done all that. You know, it's like, it's a mistake. Don't fall for that. Go ahead. You know, it's like, oh, what the economy is doing. Oh, the economy is whatever. Man, if you pay attention to what the economy is doing, you're going to like go bald and crazy, you know? It's like, yeah, the economy is going to go up. The economy is going to go down. Find out what you're going to do and stick to it. You're going to be a lot happier. Just like Christina was saying. So true.
Yeah, you get out to these job sites and the people say, well, I saw it on the internet. I want it like this.
That's right.
And I said, nope.
It's on the internet. It's got to be true.
Nope. Said, go find them. They'll be glad to come do it for you, but not me.
There you go. Bam.
Yeah, I've been at this long enough so I can, you know, say no and walk away.
That's right.
Feels good. Making phone calls, you find the right person to do it for you.
Yep. You know what I always say? I've never regretted the job I didn't get.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, everybody. Thanks for showing up. Nice meeting you. Come back again sometime, Daniel.
I'll be here as often as I can. So.
All right, cool. I know it's a weird time of day. You know, it's
just, it worked out great. I thought I was going to be in the car going to soccer practice with my son and my wife, but I forgot that you were on Pacific time, so it worked out.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, have a great week. See you next Wednesday.
All right. Next week.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.